You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That was Blush Juliet there with Slide Into View. And we've got Michael Hurst in studio. Kia ora, Michael, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm really well, thank you.
Oh, thank you for coming up. You've got a little cheer from Sarah in the background as well.
Yeah, it's good to be back here.
It's lovely to have you in the studio this morning. We're chatting to you about An Iliad, which is just you and Shane Carter doing sort of a re-adaptation. It's quite a famous adaptation of it, though, of Homer's Iliad.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? Because there's probably people who aren't familiar with the original and they won't be familiar with the new-ish version as well.
So the original Iliad is famous. I mean, the names, everybody will start, Achilles, Agamemnon, Helen of Troy, all of those people. So the original Iliad, a cornerstone of Western literature, the two books of the ancient Greek culture, the Iliad and the Odyssey, both different aspects of the concept of hero, one about Achilles, who wanted shining glory, but the price was a short life, which he chose. He was told, you can have a long life and live, unremarkably,
just
and be happy,
nice,
or you
existence.
Can have kleos, shining glory, and but you'll die young. And of course he does, and he chooses that, as opposed to Odysseus, whose whole heroic aspect is cunning, and his thing is nostos, which is homecoming, or where we get nostalgia from.
Yeah.
Brief lesson, but
it's good.
In
it's
the
concise.
Iliad, in the Iliad, it's the last. It's all set in the last year of the war, and of course there's this fight between the leader of men, Agamemnon, and Achilles over a woman, Briseis, and basically Agamemnon has to give back his prize, and so he takes Achilles' prize, and Achilles says, "Well, you can forget that." And so he says, "I'm not going to fight." And because he doesn't fight, the Greeks start to lose. Apollo sends a plague to them because they've offended the gods and so on and so on. Why don't you fight? And of course, the big story is that his best friend and lover, Patrokleos, shining glory of the fathers. And also Cleopatra, funny enough.
Yeah, they're all linked.
Yeah. So he says, "Well, lend me your armor. They'll think it's me." And Achilles says, "Great, you go and do that,
good
but
idea.
Don't go too far." And of course, what does he do? Goes too far, gets killed. Achilles packs a real sad and fights Hector and drags. All of that, it goes on and on.
The great epic battles
the great
of the
epic
gods.
Battle. Yeah. It's not all about battles, because what's in there also is the cost. And there's such beauty in it. And, Hector's wife Andromache and their son, who's only 6 months old, and of course, the terrible thing that happens at the sack of Troy. We all think, the Trojan horse, what a great thing. No.
They're remarkable for their sort of humanness, these
they
stories.
Are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. And when the Greeks got out of that horse, they started the hot work of slaughtering. It's horrendous. The piece, though, the Iliad, this is by Lisa Patterson and Peterson.
So this is an Iliad. This is the
an
bit that
Iliad.
you're doing.
And the concept is that this guy, the audience goes into this place, and there's this guy who sort of turns up, looks at them and goes, "Oh, okay," and then starts to try and get it going in Greek, But it's not working very well, and he keeps, because the essence of both of these things and essence of a Greek way of thinking was you've got to have the muse to come in.
Right.
Oh, give me the muse, don't make me do
so
this by myself.
So that's the inspiration, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he sort of gets it going, and after about 8 or 9 minutes, he's really worried, and then in comes this guy, and of course, in our case, it's Shane P. Carter.
Fantastic.
And it's just awesome. He comes in, and then starts the old guitar going, and then we get into it. And it's aspects of it. So the guy, obviously, he says, "It's a good story, and I can remember a lot of it." And so he's quite selective, but you get the whole story plus his comments.
Right.
For example, he goes into the Homeric verse occasionally in a brilliant translation by Robert Fagles, anybody doing classics will know. You can see how it works. He'll say things like, the opening, "Rage, sing, goddess, the rage of Peleus' son Achilles, murderous, doomed, that cost the Achaeans countless losses, hurling down to the house of death so many sturdy souls, great fighters' souls, but made their bodies carrion, food for the dogs and birds. What made them fight with such a fury?" Oh, well, the gods, of course. You know, pride, honour, jealousy, Aphrodite, some game or other, an apple, Helen being more beautiful than... It doesn't matter. The point is... Helen's been stolen and the Greeks have to get her back. It's always something, isn't it?
So there's this amazingness of telling the story, commenting on the story, as all the best stories being told You never go in a straight line. You get all the little sidetracks around.
And he just keeps dropping out into this modern vernacular. Honestly, when we did it in Dunedin... 18 months ago or so.
You were saying that was the last play at the Fortune Theatre.
It was,
and
it was brilliant. People just loved it. And you could feel the audience go, what?
Yeah.
You know, in a good way. You know, they'd,
they'd start
this thing. Yeah, it was fantastic. And then he has to be all these characters. I have to be Achilles and be Agamemnon. And every time he wanders off, he looks over in the corner and there's the muse, Shane looking at me going, dun, 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 come on, all right, we better do this, you know.
Yeah.
And there are some epic pieces, you know, there is an evocation of battle. There is an evocation of the love of Hector, of Achilles and Patroclus. There's the sadness of Hector this man Hector, shining Hector, man-killing Hector, Hectoros ippodamoio, Hector breaker of horses. He's a brave man, but deep down, he'd really rather be taming horses.
See, this is the thing that I always find really interesting about any kind of play or book or anything that draws on a classic and an ancient classic as well, is the way that the core of those stories is very, you know, repeated throughout all other stories that you hear.
Yeah.
Things about human relationships,
about
person-to-person situations as well. And that's the crux of it. So it's a bit like Shakespeare as well. That's why Shakespeare endures.
Yeah.
It's because of the human-to-human way that he writes about people.
I think it's why theatre actually is the essential form for that. Because if you think about it, sitting around the fire, looking into the flames, and the shaman comes and starts telling the story, it is the most ancient thing. And even though we're now all obsessed with Game of Thrones, it's kind of the same.
It's still the same,
You know, someone said to me once, fire at night is prehistoric television. And it kind of is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What I'm interested in my work at the moment is going back to that, how can I put it? I don't mean old school in a bad way, but... there are those works that, like, I'm thinking Harry Potter in Melbourne, the stage show. A friend of mine saw it. He said it's technically, they had a 3-week technical rehearsal to get everything right.
Wow.
Whereas what we do is the opposite of that. And I think that's a vein of theatre that's going to always remain and be stronger.
Absolutely,
as we get more and more into the technical age.
Where it sits on the story, not on
Where you're sitting in a room going through the same thing. You're sweating the same sweat. You know, you're breathing the same air. You're kind of going through the same things.
Yeah.
It's incredibly powerful.
Well, it sounds like an amazing adaptation as well. And also, I think it's accessible too. So if you feel like you're sort of not familiar with classics, or you're not usually a fan of things that touch on the classics and stuff, you'll be surprised, because this kind of thing is so much more accessible than I think people assume it to be.
You're absolutely right. You do not need to know anything about it to get the story. And there's an amazing moment in it where it's the hardest part of it to learn, where there's a list of every major global conflict since the Persian War.
Oh my God.
And I'm telling you, man, it is unbelievable.
Do you just have to keep adding to it?
Well, they've said, the beauty of this is they say, make it local where you can.
This is the play.
The play
itself.
Have said so they talk about all the men that went to Troy. And then he says, you know what? He's naming all these Greek places. And he says, you don't know any of these places, but they mean something to me. The point is, on all of these ships, there are young boys from every town and village in, Aotearoa, New Zealand. There are boys from Dunedin, boys from... And he just lists it, and you realise. And, of course, there's a lovely parallel with, you know, we're still at the end of the 100 years after World War One, and I know we get a bit hammered by all that, but there is a parallel between taking a whole lot of people, and men in this case, boys... and sending them thousands of miles away to killed.
To fight somebody else's battles.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there is that level to it, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming up this morning, Michael, and chatting to us about An Iliad. It's by Lisa Peterson, and Dennis O'Hare is the play. And Shane P. Carter will be the muse as well, making noise in the background.
Herald Theatre, 29th of May, for 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Also, it's part of Auckland Live, and if you want to find out more about it, it's all on their website. It's also all on the Facebook event as well. And there's accessible seating, and there are also hearing aid loop performances too, which is really cool.
Wow.
Fantastic. let's play some Straitjacket Fits then. This is She Speeds. Thanks again, Michael.
You're welcome.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.